Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Rep Bannock Education Farm in this morning. Rich LaRochelle is here. He brought a guest that we'll introduce you to in just a second. But Rich, I try to get you in at least every quarter to talk about the education farm. And boy, some exciting things continue to happen in White Oak.
Yes, there's no two ways about that, Ted. It's been an incredible year. And July is really off to a great, well, I shouldn't say a start, but this time in July, so far this month, we've harvested over 16,000 pounds. And for the year, we've now harvested 43,900 pounds, which is more than we harvested all of last year. So we're very excited by that. We've harvested 17 different kinds of vegetables. So we really have a diversity in terms of what we're growing and donating. The food bank tells us what they need, and we kind of grow to that list.
It's between what you've been able to grow in so many things, and we'll talk about the layout you have in everything, but then the volunteers.
Well, the volunteers are the heart and soul of the whole operation.
Yeah.
We're an all-volunteer organization. Without the volunteers, there's just no way we could do the work. So we've got over 1,000 volunteers on our volunteer list. They get a weekly email from us with our volunteer hours for the week, and then they can participate as their schedule permits. So we love our volunteers. We have amazing, incredible volunteers.
They show up. There are times when I'll go out there and I'll think, there's not going to be anybody there. It's going to be Rich and Andy and Sean and Jim.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
Yeah.
And the parking lot's full.
Yes. No, our volunteers really show up in all kinds of weather. We've had some really hot weather. They still show up. We've had rainy weather. They still show up.
Yeah.
And these people are very committed. I think the mission of the farm to grow and donate healthy food to people who need it and help people to learn how to grow some of their own food, it resonates deeply with people.
Yeah.
I think part of the human spirit is the desire to do something for others, for the community. And the farm gives people an opportunity to do that.
It's so easy. You make friends. And,
yes.
And like you say,
yes.
whether you're planting something or whether you're harvesting
yes.
it, I think every time you would walk away, you feel
yeah.
good about what's happening.
Yes. I was talking to one of our board members, January Coates, a couple of days ago, and she was saying in her family now four generations have volunteered at the farm.
Wow.
So she has a little great-granddaughter who I think is 3 or 4 years old, cute little girl, and she loves coming to the farm. She says, Mommy, let's put our boots on. And she comes to the farm. And so January was saying, you know, there'll be a day when we won't all be here. And she wants her kids and grandkids and great-grandkids to be able to do stuff like what we do at the farm. So it's great to see that.
And there's several ways you can follow. Rappahannockfarm.org is the website. But the Facebook page has everything. It gives you the volunteer hours. Mm-hmm. It shows what you're doing, and the Facebook page is really a great way to follow it day to day.
Yep, definitely. And if anyone wants to be a volunteer, they can go to our website, rappahannockfarm.org, and there's a pull-down volunteer menu. If they sign up there,
okay.
they'll get a weekly email from us.
Okay. You brought along Stacy with you this morning.
Yeah, Stacy Churchill is one of our outstanding volunteers. She and her husband, Kent, they really spearheaded with a couple of other folks, Ruth and Kari, our native plant garden, which is just a gem at the farm. It's just a relaxing, beautiful place. And also, we call it a pollinator garden because it attracts, you know, pollinators, which is what we need.
Yeah.
She's done that. In addition to that, she's done a lot of other things. In particular, we started a demonstration garden earlier this year. So the idea of the demonstration garden is, you know, we have 11 and a half acres, and we plant all kinds of things. We want to show people you don't need 11 and a half acres to grow a lot of food. And so Stacy and her husband started this demonstration garden. So she replicates what we grow in the 11 and a half acres in a smaller place, right near our greenhouse. If you haven't seen it, you got to get out there and see it. In addition to that, she uses grow bags, showing people what they can do. And then more recently, something I'm really proud of, Stacy and Kent have really helped to save our cantaloupe and watermelon crop. They're the parents of Henry and Alice. Henry and Alice are scarecrows. And
big scarecrows.
Big scarecrows. and they do their job. They don't sleep on the job. And so maybe they do.
They slept at first.
Yeah, they slept at first, but they're awake now.
Structural issues in the beginning. Yeah.
Well, Stacy, you're an example of all heroes don't wear capes with the scarecrows.
Oh, wow. Well, the scarecrows were, I think, a fun ad. I really appreciate kind of the multi-generational aspect of the farm that you were just talking about and had talked about, you know, what would be fun for kids to see out there. And the scarecrows, I think, are a fun addition. I assume they scare off crows, but they were fun to make.
They're large, and they've got to do their job. How'd you get involved with Rappahannock Education Farm?
Gosh, back I would say in the fall of 2024, I saw the Facebook ads, and you know, when you're setting your New Year's resolutions, I said 2025. I think I'm going to try to volunteer out there, and as we talked about, as we were walking in, one can't really say no to Rich. And so that has really grown into being more involved over time. And it did really help to meet Ruth and Kari to work on that, putting in that native plant garden. And I've made piles of great friends there. People that I see in other aspects of life all started at the farm.
Well, when you walked in today, I recognized you as I've seen you at the farm. Mm-hmm. Usually, all either if it's cold, bundled up, or in the summer, not so much. But I've seen you out there. But
covered in sweat and dirt.
Yeah, I didn't know your name, but no, there's such a companionship with everyone who gets involved.
Right, it's really a fantastic community. What I do feel like in each of Rich's endeavors is that he's creating community, and we all do want to take care of each other, but we don't know how, I think, as our society kind of goes in different ways. And this gives people a way that they can become part of a bigger community to support each other. And in doing that, we are now, as we were discussing, growing watermelons in our own gardens, which, you know, I never had done before, all because of learning out there.
And you're out there, Rich, and you're in the outside, in the outdoors with dirt, and you know, you've limited small screens and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's a great environment for people to kind of go and stop worrying about the things that we all worry about, whether it's things in our personal life or global or politics or whatever it is, and just kind of be there with your hands in the dirt, working, planting, harvesting, sharing, you know, your life with other people. It's a great experience.
Rappahannockfarm.org, again, that's how you can find out more. And there's a menu there to sign up to be a volunteer. You can also follow Rappahannock Education Farm on Facebook. They're in White Oak, and no matter where you are, you're not too far from Rappahannock Education Farm. Rich LaRochelle, Stacy Churchill here this morning. Quick break. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Miss a part of the show? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Stacy Churchill and Rich LaRochelle in this morning from the Rappahannock Education Farm, rappahannockfarm.org. Stacy, we were talking a second ago about the demonstration garden, and boy, that is so, I hear so many people out there talking amongst themselves as they're harvesting or planting and talk about, I didn't know I could plant this. I didn't know I could do this.
Right.
And I think that's one of the great things that the demonstration garden will do.
It is. It's teaching me as well as we go through each of the different crops. I'm definitely learning from Sean and Rich out there myself. But it's a great way for people to just stop by, see that you can grow things in a more condensed kind of environment, that even on your balcony, you can grow some cabbage or a bag of potatoes. And it is, it's nice to see that no matter where you are, you can get your hands in the dirt and grow yourself some food and see how it's made. I think it's a great thing to get kids involved in. So it's a nice addition. And I do think it'll grow and evolve over the coming years.
Well, you mentioned kids. It's to see so many families come out, and especially the midweek ones, and or you'll see homeschool groups, or you just look in the memories that those kids will have.
Right.
Because it's so many of us, like from our generation, will talk about sitting in the summer with your grandmother, with she did peas in a bowl and things like that. And these are stories these kids will always be able to tell.
Right. Where does your food come from? A carrot grows in the ground.
Right. You
know, all of those kinds of things.
Yeah.
We did add this year to the end of the demonstration garden a sunflower circle with a little entryway that is just starting to bloom. And for a little place for kids to go in and have a little sunflower clubhouse in there. So a fun addition, and thinking of things for the future as well, to give them something fun to do out there, in addition to getting their hands dirty and planting as well.
There's nothing more tasty than to pull a carrot or radish out of the ground and just eat it there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nuts.
Little swish in some water.
That helps, yeah. But it does. It just tastes delicious.
It does. Yeah, at home, I know not many things actually make it to my kitchen because I'm standing out there just eating as I'm harvesting.
Yeah. You said something that I hear Rich say over and over again about, you know, well, we tried this and we learned something.
Mm-hmm.
And Rich will always talk about, sometimes even when there's some major things will happen, and he'll just say, well, we're all learning together. We're an education farm. We're learning.
There, I came in one morning to work in the demonstration garden, and the eggplant was almost no more. It was more holes than leaves. And I'd never grown eggplant before, and I had no idea, like, what is happening? And so I asked Sean, what's going on here with the eggplant? And he walked over and immediately told me what it was, immediately told me how to address the issue. And now there's happy eggplants growing away in that row. So, and now I know if I want to grow eggplants at home, this is what I can do. If somebody stops by and says, hey, my eggplant has a bunch of holes, I can say, hey, Sean taught me that.
Right. And that's the other thing, Rich. I mean, you've got especially your core people that have been there. Everybody has certain skills.
Yes.
Andy's got his skill on the tractor.
He does.
And
awesome.
Jim too, Jim was what will help in any situation. Kevin does the
Absolutely.
Same thing.
Yep.
And you have groups, or they know about plants, and it really has all come together like that.
Yeah. No, we're really, really lucky. Stacy and I were talking about this a few minutes ago, that to have the group of volunteers we have is really just amazing. People coming together with complementary skills, and that's what makes the farm, you know, work.
This is, because I think it was about 3 years ago in July that I first saw a Facebook posting of you were starting what turned into Rappahannock Education Farm over at the food bank with their little patch.
Yes.
And you think from then, I've got pictures of when you were rolling up the sod
and
what you have today
in
really a short amount of time.
Right. Back in our Rappahannock Education Farm Incorporated in March of 2024 and 2023. And it took us really a year to buy this land. But in the meantime, we approached the food bank and asked if we could use some of their property. They let us do it. So we started that small garden there. We're still operating it.
Yeah.
Two of our volunteers, Liz and Mike Rotoli, really do all the work. And we get, 3,000 or 4,000 pounds out of that. And we do some education there as well.
No, just to see, and then to see what has happened with the White Oak property,
yes.
and how the Jett family helped get that really jump started that whole process.
Yeah, I mean, without the generosity of Price Jett, we really couldn't have purchased the land. It was appraised for, you know, quite a high price by Stafford County. Price sold it to us for about 15% of what it was appraised for, and so we're able to purchase the land. We needed about 10 acres. We have 11 and a half now. Our goal has been to grow and donate 100,000 pounds a year, and we can do it on this land. We knew it would take us some time. We might be ahead of schedule, but I never like to count them until they happen.
Well, like any farmer, you never know whether it's animals or
the
rain or the drought or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It does definitely give you an appreciation for what farmers are going through. And every time that I'm out there harvesting, what people say is, can you imagine people are working this hard every day to bring the food into the markets? And it does. It gives you an appreciation, I think, of the broader scale of farming and farm workers when you're out there.
Yeah. And I volunteer always, usually 2 to 4 hours. You know, people on farms work 8 hours or more every day, day in and day out. It's hard work. And so I think what Stacy's saying is right. It's to be appreciated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
We just get a little taste of it.
Yeah, oh no, absolutely. The Rappahannock Education Farm is our focus again this morning. Rappahannockfarm.org. Rappahannockfarm.org. If you want to get information on what's happening, where the farm is, and how to sign up. Boy, the scarecrow, the scarecrows. You just can't emphasize if you didn't see again, Rich, what it was like last year and how sad it was to look at just rows and rows of melons that were. You weren't able to pass along.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely right. So one of our volunteers was saying last year, if we had one failure last year, it was the watermelon and the cantaloupe. So we had, we probably lost 2/3 of them, maybe even more than that. And they had little peck marks in them. As soon as you get a peck mark in it, you got to compost the, and so we lost those. So this year, we said, you know, I'm a stubborn person, so I said, let's try watermelon and cantaloupe again. So we did, in a bigger area. And then we noticed that the crows were pecking the cantaloupe and causing problems. So I reached out to Stacy and said, you know, can you kind of take this on? And she and her husband have done just a tremendous job. So we harvested, we've now harvested over 700 pounds of cantaloupe, over 350 pounds of watermelon. And that would not have happened without Henry and Alice and the scarecrows and Stacy and Kent, who are their parents, and all the other ways in which they have worked to try to protect those crops, including putting reflective ribbons up, putting hoops around them, bags around them, just a variety of strategies. And it's worked just like magic.
How did you make them?
The scarecrow?
Yeah.
With PVC pipe, and then they're on a piece of rebar that's in the ground. And straw, like the old-fashioned way with straw.
Yeah.
And Goodwill clothes, although I think Henry's wearing some of Ken's old clothes. And that was a learning thing when Rich reached out and said, you know, hey, help save all the melons. I didn't know anything about crows other than don't make them mad because they hold a grudge. And so
I didn't know that they hold a grudge.
They do. And then they tell their friends. They can get angry. So
interesting.
And you know, I mean, they're just being crows by trying to eat the melons. I mean, who can blame them? They're delicious. So anyway, that was a research project, and we just decided to try a bunch of things to see what would work. And one of them started out with Henry and doing a tunnel which was just PVC pipe on rebar again with the fabric on top. and some bags that go on, was in one row, going on each individual little melon, so they're little presents out there. And then some metal cages as cloches. And really what I think ended up being not only the easiest, but the most cost-effective way was just to put stakes in the ground with fishing line and tie reflective tape on it that's flashing in the wind to deter them. So by the time we'd finished the cantaloupe field, we'd pretty much, and waited a week to see what happened, we'd pretty much decided the melons were going to get that more quick and easy treatment, and also Alice, because, you know, the women are out there, too.
That's right. Well, it really is a success. I mean, you don't have to really feel like, boy, you know, that, because that wasn't concern. You'd done so much with fencing to try to keep some animals out, but... Yes. When you can come through the air, it's tougher.
There's very little you can do with the, so the 8-foot fence we have around the property has really kept the deer out. Rabbits and groundhogs still find a way in, but it's limited. With the crows, you need a whole different strategy.
Yeah.
So it's this will mean there'll be thousands of pounds of cantaloupe and watermelon that people in our area will get to eat who otherwise wouldn't have them. And so I'm grateful for that.
And we'll talk about that when we come back from the break, because I do want to talk about that, because having been at the farm on the day when you pick and then to go downtown that same day to see it distributed at the table, that is really something to see amongst all this food, all this fresh food that's come from Rappahannock Education Farm. And that's where volunteers come in, because, like you said, you couldn't pick all of the amount of pounds that you've been collecting, especially with the tomatoes and things over the last few weeks. That's, you need volunteers to plant the seeds. You need volunteers to also then do the harvesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take a quick break and to continue on with Rich and Stacy this morning and Rappahannock Education Farm, rappahannockfarm.org. You can also follow them on Facebook. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's almost 8:30.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. It's the only local talk show in Fredericksburg. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. Subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform to hear Town Talk anytime, 24/7, 365. And now, Ted Schubel.
It is our Rappahannock Education Farm this morning. Rich LaRochelle is here along with Stacy Churchill. Good conversation. And if you have not volunteered and gone out and done some things with Rappahannock Education Farm, you are missing something. And you're missing, if you're a volunteer, Rich will take your picture as a group. And if you have not experienced that, you will be part of the best looking group he has ever seen. Happens every week. Rappahannock Education Farm again .org for more information, or follow them on Facebook and let them know that you can you can volunteer. The mentioned just before the break, Rich, to see things harvested and then go to the food bank and in pantries. Boy, to see that and to see people pick that, and especially with the table, to hear people say, "Oh, I'd like that kale. I would like those potatoes." Those kinds of things. You just think those are things that are going home with them, and that will improve their diet, and also the whole goal is providing for reducing food insecurity.
Yes, I mean, totally. I was at the food bank about a week and a half ago, and I saw, and they have a order ahead program when people can order food ahead, and then they can come in and they can select fresh vegetables from a table. A lot of the vegetables are the ones that we've grown. And there was a family that came in, they were looking for onions that we had previously donated, and they didn't have any of those, but they left with some cabbages that we had grown, big, beautiful cabbages. And I could see the sense of joy that they had to be bringing those home. And it was a great experience. The same thing happens at the table. The same thing happens at food pantries. We provided over 1,000 pounds to the table this week. They also purchase from a local farmer, so ours is really supplemental to them. But I was got a text from Wendy, who's one of the organizers of the table, and she said everything they had, they gave away. So it's a really cool thing. We can harvest Tuesday morning. We bring it into the table before noon, and people have it by 1 o'clock, and they can bring it home. So it's like fresh, right from the farm, right to people's table, right to their homes, and it gives us a lot of joy.
Stacy asked you before when we were talking before the show about what volunteers like to do, and you said it's either planting or harvesting.
Yes, I think the number one thing volunteers like to do is harvesting, because you see the tangible results, you know, and you can have a relatively small group of volunteers. By that I mean maybe a dozen to 20 volunteers, and you can bring in, you know, a couple thousand pounds of produce, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
Like things like cabbage and zucchini and cucumbers and tomatoes. And you just see these, you know, box after box of these beautiful vegetables, you know, just harvested. And then you see the pantries pulling up to the farm or the food bank truck pulling up to the farm and going to people who really need them. So there's really that sense of achievement, that sense of satisfaction that you were able to do something. And the volunteers really are able to do things. When we need to harvest, we just need to harvest. Certain things can wait a little longer, but things like tomatoes, you don't harvest them when they're ready and they're just going to go to waste. They're just going to rot. So yeah. We need a lot of volunteers to do that, and that's a really important function. I think volunteers also like planting, whether it's planting seedlings or planting seeds directly. On Sunday, we had volunteer hours from 3 to 5, and we planted about 2,000 zucchini seeds. That will result in thousands of pounds of zucchini that we'll begin harvesting toward the end of August, and we'll keep harvesting until the first frost, which will probably be mid-November. So planting seeds or seedlings is less dramatic, but very powerful in terms of the impact.
Yeah, I mean, you see it grow, and, yeah, and all of a sudden, and boy, and you have a plan.
You have a plan
for that land. As soon as something is done, you cycle it, you get the ground worked up, and you're planting again.
Yes, yeah, we definitely have we develop a planting plan for the year, and then we follow it. We make changes as we need to, but we basically follow the plan. So we try to always not plant the same vegetable in the same place. When you plant the vegetables in the same place every year, you know, you're gonna invite the insects that like that plant to grow and multiply. It sends a signal, hey guys, this is where they plant tomatoes every year, and so we do that kind of succession, that rotation.
So I guess you're already looking ahead to net. You know, definitely. Next year where things are going to be planted.
Yeah. I mean, more or less, we haven't developed a written plan for next year, but we definitely have a written plan for this year.
Yeah, no, and as you look at what you, because you mentioned it, the number of vegetables that you've already harvested or will harvest it is just astounding to me.
Yeah, so we've done 17 or 18 vegetables so far. We'll probably get up around 20. They're all really from a list of vegetables that food banks want. Dan Mayer, the head of the food bank, is always accessible. We talk to him about what we're going to plant. We only really plant the vegetables that the food bank and food pantries are going to want.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of things: tomatoes, potatoes, cucumbers, squash, you know, cantaloupe, watermelon, kale, collards, cabbage. You know, the more common kind of vegetables people want. They know what to do with, and that are, you know, nutritious.
You've got fruit trees.
We do. We have 40 Asian pear trees. Friends of the Rappahannock put those in for us. We are getting little tiny apples on them, on some of the trees now. It'll be 2 or 3 years until they really start producing, but we're excited to be able to grow and donate fruit in addition to vegetables so we can add those to the mix.
Yeah. Wow. There's always something new. There's always some. I mean, you you do have a plan, you know, even a few years down the line.
So yeah, for sure.
It's exciting to see all of this come together. Stacy, as far as you with the native plants, that area too is it has been educational to me, because we're learning in this area, as you and others are teaching a lot of us in this area about the importance of native plants.
We are trying our best. Our local chapter of the Virginia Native Plant Society formed in the fall of last year. There was one, but it kind of faded away maybe 10 years ago. So really, the group of people met and got together and working at the farm and putting in that native plant garden, and then that grew into seeing what people are doing with native plants in their own spaces, which then grew into botany classes on native plants in our area and doing field studies. So it's really a great local initiative where there's a lot of interest, I would say. And we're looking at putting in places like at what's at the farm with that native garden there in other areas in the region. It's really, it's fun. It's great to see it grow.
Oh, I see it all around. You start seeing it at nurseries. You start seeing when there are some of these plant giveaways where a lot of them are native and people are just talking about it more.
Right. I think we're there's a growing knowledge of the importance of native plants. You know, we need to eat. We have to have farms to grow vegetables. But in other spaces, if you can grow a native plant instead of something that's ornamental, you can find something that's beautiful, that looks great, but it is also a benefit to the pollinators, that basis of the whole food web there, in your own front yard. Or in for example, the Fredericksburg Branch Library has a native little patch there along the parking lot. And we did an event there last night, and there's monarchs on the flowers there. And so you just see, like, one little patch can make a big difference. Rich and the board there at REF was nice enough to donate a pretty big chunk in the middle, right in the middle of the farm, for that pollinator patch there. So it's a great start.
One of the things we've touched on it, but one of the overarching things, Stace, that we have talked about today, I think you get from the conversation, being involved with the Rappahannock Education Farm, other than feeling good about what you're doing, you have a lot of fun. You learn something, but the fun factor with the farm is just remarkable.
It really is. And even when you're there we were discussing one of those cabbage picking days in the winter last year that was just absolutely miserable, and it was so fun. We were laughing because all you can do is laugh and keep picking cabbage and slide around in the mud, and it ends up being fun because of the people that you're there with, the shared mission, and kind of that drive to get all of those things picked before they go bad. So it gets to be really, it is really fun. And now I'll meet friends and that I've met out there that I do things with outside of the farm, and we'll be there on a Saturday and we'll just say, like, okay, we're going to catch up as we're digging up potatoes, as we work our way down the road, you know, getting caught up on the rest of our lives. So it is definitely a community.
One of the funniest things that I remember, and this was, I think, last December, and it was just a bitterly cold day, and there was this poor group of volunteers that were pulling up radishes. And as they pulled up the radishes, they had water running.
Yes.
And I remember walking over there, and they all were just laughing and saying, "Someone doesn't like us. Whoever picked us for this group, you know, we've made somebody mad."
Yeah. I'll tell you, one of the young women who was washing the radishes, later that day, she posted on her page on Facebook something like, "I feel so blessed, even though my fingers are frozen, to be part of this farm."
Yeah.
And I will say, on that day, is Chu Wei, there is when I met her, and and now, you know, I'm dropping native plants off on her doorstep for her back garden and things. So
that's
it
cool.
is definitely, yeah. Yeah, even on the hard days, you make friends and it's fun.
Rich, you first told me about it. This is the first summer that you've had the barn there.
Yes.
With an access. I remember you telling me last year it was you know, you needed a barn. It was coming, and the local Lions Club played a huge role in all of that. And you talked about really making this the educational component and being able to use the barn for programs. And that certainly has, you've had a number of really interesting programs.
Yeah, we really have. So we have monthly educational classes. Stacy did a great class on native plants a couple months ago, very well attended, chock full of information and insights. We had a great session last Saturday on beekeeping, and during August we've got three sessions coming up. On August 1st, Michelle Dobie is doing a session on the art of printmaking with fruits and vegetables. It's a class she does in other places. Kids like it, adults like it, and so everyone's invited. All of our classes are free. On August 22nd, Andrew Dobie and Ben Litchfield doing a class on the natural methods of weed and pest control. So we don't use any chemical pesticides. We use natural methods, and so they're going to share some of that. And then on August 29th, we have two folks from Extension, Grace Kunkel and Megan Williams, and they're going to do a session on soil health. It's going to be soil your undies. People will get a free pair of undies that they can put in the soil in their home, and then they can test it later to see whether it disintegrates, whether there's the right kind of composition in their soil.
Okay. That's quite a hook.
Yeah, it's quite a hook. Who can say no to that?
Yeah.
And then in September, we have Michael Carter doing a session on agriculture. He's written a book about the contributions of African agriculture to American agriculture. So we've got these sessions once a month. We also cooperate with other groups, and we hold monthly sessions at the food bank. So we're doing a lot in the education area. Education is our middle name, and so that's a big part of our mission, to teach people how they can grow some of their own food.
Boy, and ultimately, like you say, you it's much conversation, and when you see how easy some of this is to grow,
yes,
you don't need a lot of room.
No, you really don't. And in this climate in Virginia, we can grow and harvest things almost every single month of the year.
Yeah.
And so we publish our planting plan. I did a session with Stacy on what our planting plan is. She talked about the demonstration garden. And if people just replicate what we do in terms of, like, when we plant cabbage, when they can plant cabbage, when we plant tomatoes, they can plant tomatoes. If you do that throughout the year in this, you know, wonderful Virginia climate, you can get a lot of vegetables from a small space in your yard, or even from a grow bag.
I never thought of that. When I'm out there, I can see what you're doing, and I can go home and do the same thing.
I think your wife would be proud of you, Ted.
I picked up something. No, I learned last year, because I thought for sure after Christmas, I thought, well, this will wind down and I'll see Rich again after, you know, early part of December. I'll see him again in March. Mm-hmm. And had it not been for the horrible ice storm, you would have hardly missed a beat.
Yeah. So last year we harvested a lot in January, February. Well, then we got the snowcrete, and so that kind of put a kibosh on that. And then February was a month that we didn't harvest. We were back to harvesting in March. Because we planted a lot of winter crops like onions and spinach. The spinach we planted in November, December, it was not damaged at all by the snow and ice, and so we're able to begin harvesting that. But that's the blessing, one of the blessings of being here in Virginia.
Yeah. If you're not involved with Rappahannock Education Farm, you should be. Rappahannockfarm.org. Check it out and see how you can volunteer and get information on when volunteering takes place. Also, Facebook has all that information too. Stacy Churchill and Rich LaRochelle here this morning from Rappahannock Education Farm. We'll wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast streaming platform. Now, back to your host, Ted Schubel.
Rappahannock Education Farm this morning. Rich LaRochelle is here. Stacy Churchill is here. Rappahannockfarm.org. For more information. I know part of the farm you've been doing really from the start, composting, and that seems to be growing, Rich.
Yeah, definitely. So we need to do composting. It's a way of enriching our soil. We call it black gold. The soil we have has a lot of clay in it, very few rocks, but a lot of clay. Some of the soil is pretty good. A lot of it is not that good. We definitely need, we need compost. We need you know, those kinds of things. We do cover crops, green manure, we call it. But we've entered into a relationship with a group called FXBG Composting. It's James Leonard and Kat Carter, great people. And they actually pick up table scraps from people's houses. They bring it to the farm and they compost it. They know all the rules of composting, you know, greens and browns, air and water. And they turn it where it needs to be turned. They monitor the temperatures, and they're real excited when the temperature is, you know, 150. Sometimes on a cold day, even the compost pile will be steaming hot. And so they follow all the rules, so they make sure that pathogens are destroyed. Like if there's weeds in there, they can't reproduce and so forth and so on. And so when we get the finished product from them, the black gold, and we add that to our soil, it really makes a big difference.
Huge, yeah. It's been just amazing to look. I mean, yesterday, 2,249 pounds. On Saturday, over 3,400 pounds. Over 2,000 pounds, I think, last Thursday. I mean, it's just amazing right now. As between the melons and the tomatoes.
Yes.
And
yes.
These are fun days.
Yeah, these are really fun days. If I look back to last year, we had a good year last year. We had a little bit of a slow start. We were just expanding the number of fields that we were growing in. This time last year, we were right at around 7,000 pounds. So the difference is very significant. The beauty of the vegetables, Stacy and I were talking about this earlier. The tomatoes we're growing this year are just spectacular.
Yeah, you said, Stacy, they're big.
Big, juicy tomatoes. The fact that we have a greenhouse is amazing. The Community Foundation provided us with a grant for the materials for that greenhouse. Steve Spratt and a team of volunteers built it. The greenhouse is very, very productive. The tomatoes in the greenhouse are doing great. And it's just gratifying to see the variety of vegetables we're growing, to be able to harvest them and donate them and feed them into the community so that people that otherwise wouldn't have them are able to get that nutrition.
Well, thank you for what you both are doing, because boy, what you're doing for the community, you know, just, you know, one seed and one tomato or melon or, you know, leaf of kale at a time. It's just amazing. And when you mentioned, Rich, it's a chance to go out there, get away from things,
yes. And
just really do something for the community.
Yes. And Ted, thank you very much for covering our story. Thank you for coming out to the farm.
I love it.
And thank you for, we always like to get you to plant, you know, like one zucchini, one squash.
You do.
And then we watch that, and they always do well. We call it the Ted Schubel magic.
Rich LaRochelle, Stacy Churchill, thank you both. We'll talk soon, and see you at the farm tomorrow. Rappahannockfarm.org. For more information, follow them on Facebook. That's it. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, sponsored by Green Line Service Corp. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite streaming platform. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.